Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
Not only that, I'm not reading the Bible in my own language, but also without my glasses, which I left in the car. So I really need the Holy Spirit. sorry, I'll manage. Good morning. We're going to Genesis 21 and 22. I might skip some of the text, but that's where we are going. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he has said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. He always does. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him, as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. And she added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. The child grew and was weaned. And on the day Isaac was weaned, Abraham held a great feast. But Sarah saw that the son whom Hagar the Egyptian had borne to Abraham was mocking. And she said to Abraham, get rid of that slave woman and her son, for that slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with my son Isaac. The matter distressed Abraham greatly because it concerned his son. But God said to him, do not be so distressed about the boy and your maidservant. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. I will make the son of the maidservant into a nation, also because he is your offspring. Early the next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. He set them on her shoulders and then sent her off with the boy. She went on her way and wandered in the desert of Beersheba. Excuse me. When the water in the skin was gone, she put the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went off and sat down nearby, about a bow shot away. For she thought, I cannot watch the boy die. And as she sat there nearby, she began to sob. God heard the boy crying, and the angel of the Lord called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift the boy up and take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy as he grew up. He lived in the desert and became an archer. While he was living in the desert of Paran, his mother got a wife for him from Egypt. Sometime later, chapter 22, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. he took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, Father. Yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide, Jehovah Jireh, Yahweh Yireh. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba. And Abraham stayed in Beersheba. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we come before you. Teach us, please. Lead us in the truth, so the truth sets us free. In the name of Jesus. Amen. There are verses... in the Bible we do not like, we struggle with, we wish they were never written. In a way, they are an embarrassment. They make our position as Christians very weak when we talk to others. They are the arrows that others throw at us and try to discredit the Bible and the Word of God. And this passage was one of them for me. And the other one is Jesus with the Phoenician woman. And everybody can, you know, put a number of verses in the Bible which are difficult for them. How could God ask Abraham to send Hagar and the little boy into the desert? How could God ask Abraham to do such a horrible thing? Now, we know it was Sarah who suggested to Abraham that he should have a son from Hagar because she was not having a son. And so Abraham did what Sarah asked him. And Ishmael was truly and fully Abraham's son. And the Lord said that Abraham is your son, and even repeated, he is your offspring, in the text. And the story goes that then God fulfills his promise to Abraham to have a son from Sarah, his wife, not his servant, Hagar. Because God promised, and God will fulfill always his promise. It becomes impossible in the natural. It becomes beyond. It becomes impossible. But God will always fulfill his promises. God promised my uncle in Damascus that his children will be walking with him. It was 15 years after my uncle died that his children, all of them, came back to the Lord. When God promises you something, he will see it through, even if you will never see it. Never lose hope in God's promises. And Abraham was a man of faith. He is the one who left the Chaldeans' places, Iraq, and came all the way to the promised land. And he saw the wonders of God. He knows that God answers the prayer. It was getting late, and he was getting tired. And so then he decided to find him and Sarah some other solutions. Now that wasn't Hagar's fault, nor Ishmael's fault. You see, we cannot blame others for our mistakes. We cannot blame others for decisions we take. We take the responsibility. But here God tells Abraham, kick her out. With Ishmael, your son. What a racist God. How could he do such a thing? And so he sends Hagar and Ishmael in the desert. And Abraham, more than anyone, knows what the desert means. He knows he was sending them to die. He gives them a little bit of food, a little bit of water. He cannot provide more than that. Because that's all what the flesh can provide for the journey. A little bit. We are limited with what we can provide. We are limited with what we can give. We cannot. We don't have the ability ourselves to ensure or to sustain life. We cannot do that. And so that horrible day comes. He gives the water, the food, and sends Hagar, his faithful servant, and his beloved son Ishmael out. And he was so distressed. I'm sure that day he didn't want to see nor Sarah, neither Isaac. He was so distressed. Hagar goes with Ishmael. And maybe Abraham was thinking, Lord, but you promised also. You said that you will bless Ishmael. So according to the flesh, I know what I have done will lead to their death. But I know also you can bring life even after death. Abraham believed in the God of resurrection. So Hagar goes with Ishmael and wanders in the desert. sure, water runs out, food run out. The boy is tired, is sad, traumatized, confused. Hagar feels betrayed. She curses the day maybe she was born. She's alone with her son to die. Son, who is this God can do such a thing to me? Who is this God who allows such pain and suffering to hit me? Why did I end up with those people? And Ishmael cries and is dirty and is tired and is nagging at his mom. But then his tongue becomes so dry that he cannot cry even anymore. The crying is annoying now. The crying is not loud, but is like knives that tear through the heart of his mother, Hagar. She finds a bush, and the bush in the desert is a thorny bush usually, to preserve water. And she puts him at the bush, and she goes in a distance enough not to hear him crying and dying. And she starts sobbing. Because it's easy to hear myself cry than to hear my son dying and crying and suffocating without water. But his name is Ishmael. God hears. And so God hears from heaven. And he calls to Hagar. Hagar, my daughter, why are you crying? What a silly question. Why are you on, God? But God wants us to answer him. Jesus said to the blind man, what do you want me to do for you? Can't you see I'm blind? But God wants us to tell him our need. He wants us to tell him our need. So the angel of the Lord says to her, I heard not your crying, Ishmael. I heard him. Go back and take him. Go back and be a mother to your son. Go back and pick him up. Even before she saw the water, she had to believe God. So Hagar, rising up and going to Ishmael, who was dying, is a statement of faith. Before she saw the provision and the solution, she took the step of obedience. She picks her son, and then she sees the well that God provided. And that well became a source of life for her and for her son. God brings life in what you do and in you when you obey. The scene moves from there to Abraham. Abraham. Yes, Lord. And God calls Abraham by the name he gave him. That's a name that God gave him. When we are born again, yes, we still carry our names, but that name becomes God's. He holds that name. And says, yes, Lord, take Isaac, your one and only son, because the other one is no more. Abraham believes, maybe Ishmael is already dead, maybe. Take Isaac, your son, the one and only one you love, and go to the Moriah and offer him as a burnt offering for me. Your one and only Son, whom you love. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son, whom he loved. I'm sure Abraham maybe didn't tell Sarah a lot, but then he went with Isaac. And as the story tells us, they walk 3 days. 3 days. And they reach the place almost. And Isaac asks his dad, according to the Jewish tradition, not in the Bible, Isaac was 30 years old. He wasn't a little kid. But we don't have a proof of that. And the here is the knife, the wood, the fire. Where is the lamb? God will provide. God will provide. So they go and up the mountain. And he arranges everything. And then with the rope, and maybe Isaac was looking behind, he starts tying his son before his son could resist. Can you imagine a father taking his son to kill them? I mean, this is, God, what are you doing? This is what the nations around me, Abraham saying, are doing. They offer their sons. This is the sin of the nations. This is the sin of the nations. What are you doing? This is the sin of the nations. The worst of the sins of the nations was offering their children for the gods, for the idols. That was the worst. That was the thing that most offended God. And now he is saying, do it. I don't know if I can say that or not, I don't claim it is spiritual truth. But maybe that's an image of taking the sin. He became sin for us, so that we became the righteousness of God. I don't know if there's an image there or not. I'm careful in that. Abraham. And as he puts Isaac on the altar, he thinks of Ishmael. Says, maybe this is punishment. Maybe this is destiny. But as well, Paul tells us that Abraham then believed that God can bring Isaac and can bring life out of the death. To the point that there is another Jewish myth that says that Isaac was burnt. And his ashes came back and came back to life. That's a myth in Judaism. It exists. But the Bible tells us that he was there and he lifted up his knife to slay his son. Then the voice in heaven comes, don't, don't. Nothing is too dear to you, me. Nothing. Not even your son. Don't. And the ram, caught by its horns, offer the ram and goes back. Here is, friends, a story of redemption. Here is a story of God setting things right. Here is a story of grace, of life, of love, in the most unusual ways. Here is Isaac, and here is Ishmael. And the analogy of the Jewish and the Muslim, or the Israeli and the Muslim. Or maybe a picture of the Jew and the Gentile. But I'll say more, it is a picture of an image of the Jew and the Muslim. Because Muslims believe that they are descendants of Ishmael, as we know the Jews are descendants of Isaac. Both are children of Abraham. Both. The issue of the promise of the blessing through Isaac does not negate the blessing to Ishmael. This is a promise for a certain purpose. This is not discrimination. Because Ishmael becomes a great nation, Isaac becomes a great nation, but from Isaac's offspring, not springs, and the New Testament clarifies that, the one person, Jesus Christ, all of the nations of the world will be blessed. All of the nations of the world will be blessed. Don't be jealous if God gives someone else something different from He is giving you, because when He gives, He wants to bless others. It is not discrimination. There is no discrimination in God's economy. Rejoice if God gives someone else more than He gives you. Because there is greater responsibility there to impart to others. Okay? Ishmael redeemed by the water. Isaac redeemed by the blood. Both are redemptions. Both are redemptions. I want to bring back to life through my grace, not through the mistake, not through the flesh. The flesh way, go and get me a son from Hagar. That's the way of the flesh. But God wants to redeem this, and He redeemed it through the line of water. And we know that water is a theme of redemption as well as blood is a theme of redemption. But Isaac as well. He came through the flesh. There is a promise, but it was the flesh of Abraham, the flesh of Sarah. And God wants to bring even that again. Through another work of redemption, by the blood of that ram, of the lamb. Both the same. Both are now back, sons of Abraham, but almost born again. They are born again through that redemption of the blood and the water, and became children of Abraham. And God sets things right. I think if Ishmael were still in the house and God tells Abraham, go take Isaac, the son you love, and bring him an offering, what would Sarah tell Abraham? Take whom? Take Ishmael. And if he will do that, maybe then the knife will fall on Ishmael. And it will be a double loss. So maybe God, to save Ishmael from the foolishness of Sarah, He sent him in the desert. Because He wanted what He promised in Isaac to be fulfilled. There's a story of redemption. Trust God. He knows what He is doing. Now, for me today, Hagar is the church in the Middle East. Hagar is the church in the Middle East. And Ishmael is our people. We are predominantly Muslim. Look at the Middle East now. Look at the crying, the killing, the blood, thrown in the desert, weeping, crying, fighting, killing, misery, and death. Maybe sometimes as a church, we want to be away. We don't want to see our people suffering. We cannot take it. But God calls on the church in the Middle East. Rise up. Go to Ishmael. Confess. Or He's asking us to come to terms that we are one people, that we belong. As a church, we have a responsibility. Because sometimes we like to disassociate ourselves from our Muslim people and act like we are better. We don't want to deal with the mess. It can die there. I don't want to hear the suffering. I don't want to hear the crying. God tells us, go back. To the point that once I stood before a group of wonderful Christians in Jerusalem and I said, I have a declaration, friends, I'm a Muslim. Half of the heads dropped in their hands. Could not believe what is wrong with Labib. But I have to come even to this. To the point that I feel I identify with my people as one of them. Because Jesus identified with us. I don't want to declare righteousness over the sinners from a distance. But even identify, even take their place. When I see a homosexual, I want to identify with them as if I am a homosexual. Or if I see a terrorist, identify as if I am a terrorist. And with the knowledge of my redemption there, I cry on behalf of this person. I call the church, don't give up on me. Don't judge me. Don't curse me. Don't, please. Please don't. Don't give up on me. The righteousness that God gives us is not to be used as judgment for others, but as an invitation to the freedom in Jesus Christ. As a church in the Middle East, we are called back to our beloved Muslim people. And I will say this even if tomorrow or today something will happen. What about the church here? Make sure that we always carry the heart of God. Don't, please, do not allow us, don't encourage us to separate ourselves from our peoples. The further I am away from the people God calls me to love, the further away I am from the love of God. God is calling us to love. See, the church in the West, sometimes I feel, has either the heart of Hagar or the heart of Sarah. But God is calling you to have the heart of Abraham, father of both. Father of both, embracing both. Because God is not a God of discrimination. God is a father. You cannot make him anything other than a father. Abba. Abba. In the desert, redeemed by the water. On the Moriah, redeemed by the blood. When the time came and it was God's turn, and walked with Jesus up to Calvary. At that time, there was no one to tell God, stop your hand. There was no hand to hold the hand of God, but it went down on his one and only beloved Son and slayed him there on the cross for me and you. God was crying with Abraham there. He knows what it means. And now, when it was his turn, he did it for you and me. There is nothing as wonderful as obedience to God. Tune in to his heart. Tune in to his heart. Jesus, the Son, submitted to his Father. Your will, not mine. And so he deserved, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I pray the favor of God on you as you obey him. And as you carry his heart for each other, for the people in this city, in this country, regardless how far or close they are, how good or bad they are, this is irrelevant. What is relevant is God's heart, the Father who wants all of his children back home. Let us pray.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.